This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. I want to thank you so much for praying for me. You know, I've told you this is a very intense month for me. Last week, Tuesday, I flew out to Texas to tape a segment on the Life Today show for my book, comes out in January. Got home Wednesday. Had my mother-in-law's funeral on Thursday, my son's rehearsal dinner Friday, and my son's wedding on Saturday. And so the fact that I'm making complete sentences now is nothing short of amazing to me. And then, so for the rest of the week after today's live show, I'll be off prepping for this DVD shoot that is going to accompany the book. And so I want to tell you, though that we're re-airing a few recorded shows in the next few days, they're great ones. So I want you to tune back in. Tomorrow, we're going to re-air my show with Christy Paul. She's a national news anchor with HLN, and she wrote a book, Love Isn't Supposed to Hurt. And she really chronicles the journey of emotional abuse and even physical abuse with her first husband, about how God healed her through it and restored her through it. Her story is very compelling. That's tomorrow. And then Wednesday, Chanda Pierce. You'll laugh a few times during that show. And we'll talk, though, about her journey through depression amidst being a comedian, having to get on stage to make people laugh, but how God actually used that. And you're going to laugh, but you'll really, really connect with her. And then Thursday, Nina Barnes is an amazing woman of God, and she actually works in our HR department, but has an unbelievable story of hardship and redemption. And she's such a beautiful communicator. We had all kinds of people in the second studio when I had her in studio. Powerful, powerful story. And then Friday, Matt Maher, and I had him in studio last time he was in town. So those are some excellent shows. So even though I'll be away, I want you to be here because I really believe you're going to be blessed. And today I'm just so excited about the show. We have Nicole Nordeman on, and I'm laughing. I'm sitting at my desk laughing out loud as I'm reading this book of her. She's a brilliant writer, but she's really chronicling the love story from Genesis to Revelations. And maybe you've been at the story, the big production with Frazee. Oh my goodness, what's his name? Mr. Frazee, Pastor Frazee. Randy Frazee, I've had his wife on this show, and Max Lucado. And Nicole basically wrote, if not co-wrote, every song on the disc. So we've got three of the discs, The Story, and three copies of her beautiful hardcover, Love Story, The Hand That Holds Us from the Garden to the Gate. So if you've got a question as we talk with Nicole, feel free to call. I'll pitch the number a few times, but you're in for an absolute treat. So let me tell you about her, and we'll get right into it. Nicole Nordeman has twice been named GMA's Female Vocalist of the Year and is also a noted lyricist who's won 9 Dove Awards. She lives with her family in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You can learn more about her on the web at NicoleNordeman.com. Nicole, thank you for joining us today. It's such an honor to have you with us.
Oh, it is my sincere privilege. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, we like to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. And what I love about that, Nicole, is that, you know, you'll come as a guest and you'll share why a certain passage means so much to you, and it brings it to life for everybody else listening. And I know this will be the same case here. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, you chose the Message paraphrase. So if you don't mind, I'll just read it and then have
Please.
You speak to it. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued in doing good. At the right time, we'll harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Powerful passage. Talk to us about it.
Oh, I love this passage, and it sort of leapt out of Scripture at me recently. I don't know if it's because of this time of year, and it's fall here, and there's so much talk just, you know, in everyday life about harvesting and bounty, and just reading and remembering that we are all harvesting something. It's not like nobody's harvesting nothing. Like,
right.
Whatever you're planting, you are harvesting, and it's, so the question becomes, what have you planted? And what is your life and your field showing for it? And the verse right there in the middle that says, but the one who plants in response to God is really what tugged at me, because I thought I can plant all day long in response to me. Mm. in response to the desires of my heart and my flesh and my selfishness. And, you know, I will have a bounty of weeds is what I'll have. But to really be wise and quiet enough to be planting in response to the voice of God and the calling of God is a challenge for me, and it's one that I'm trying to really dig in and accomplish in this season of my life.
Well, and you make such a good point. The only way we can live in response to God is to get quiet enough to hear what He's saying. And, you know, one time, Nicole, I pondered the idea of fear and how often we do things in reaction to fear to the point where we sabotage. You know, we have surgeries because of fear. We cut off relationships that would normally have been good for us because of fear.
Yeah.
Maybe say a word about planting seeds and reacting in life based on fear versus faith.
Well, I think for me personally, I can't speak to everyone's experience, but for me, it's just it's allowing the passage of time and realizing that God's time is not our time. And so if we can, as you said, be still and not plant out of reaction or out of panic, but just to be quiet and still and just wait on what the Lord is saying to us and what He's asking of us and what He's giving us to plant, I think that's when our harvest really starts to look different.
Mm, indeed. Well, I would love a little backstory before we get into your book, which I love, by the way. Love a little backstory on your faith journey, if you could.
Well, my faith journey is like a lot of people's faith journey. I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Christian home. I attended a Christian school for most of my education, but, you know, I made a decision to follow Jesus when I was, you know, seven or eight years old. But like a lot of us who grew up with that faith background, I did not feel like I really owned my relationship with Jesus until much later as a young adult and had begun to sort of divorce my own opinions and ideas from my pastors and from my parents. Not to say that I had vastly different ideas, but I just needed to make them my own. I needed to wrestle with them myself. I needed to lay them on my own altar before the Lord and really examine them. And so it was a while before I felt like I had really was living any kind of a mature faith.
How'd you get there?
Oh, I made a lot of really stupid choices.
Isn't that always?
I did, and, you know, it wasn't like nothing that was horrible or would make even an interesting story, but, you know, I decided that I was curious about life outside of the church, and I wanted to find out what, if anything, I had been missing. And so I spent several years just sort of wandering like the Israelites in big looping circles in the desert, not understanding why God wasn't blessing what I was pursuing, because I wasn't walking with Him.
Mm.
So it took me a lot of wandering and a lot of questioning, but you know, I feel like my relationship with Him is so much more authentic because of that season.
Wow. I mean, how about musically? When did you first get the sense of God's call in your life musically?
Well, I wrote about this a little bit in the book too. I feel like God was always pursuing me with music, and I was not rejecting it because I loved music, but I never really felt like it was a calling on my life. I thought I felt like it was to be an artist was to be sort of financially irresponsible and to be somewhat of a dreamer and to be just, you know, sort of one of those people that kind of had their heads in the clouds and was not sure where their next paycheck was coming from. And none of that appealed to me. I was sort of a type A person, so I really wanted a career and a calling as well that was more structured and had some more stability. So for a long time, I just resisted songwriting and singing as a craft and as a vocation. And I just sort of just tucked it away as a hobby for a long time and would sing at my church and write songs just for myself, almost like a journal entry a lot of times. So it took me a long time and a lot of trust to really believe the Lord when He was saying, no, this is I have something bigger for you here, and it's not necessarily about financial stability, but it is about a calling, and you need to place those gifts in my hands and watch what I'll do with them.
Mm, wow. Well, He really, I'm sure, has surprised you, hasn't He?
Oh, it still is.
Wow. Well, I want you to talk about the opportunity to co-write for the story. I want to know, what was your initial response to the invitation, and how'd you sort through any fears you may have had?
You know, I'll be honest, I didn't have any fears about being involved in that project. I was totally over the moon about it from the get-go. I had taken about 3 or 4 years off of the road. I had decided to hang up my artist hat for a while, my touring hat, my recording hat, and just stay at home and raise my kids. I was having a lot of trouble finding a healthy balance, and I needed just to put the brakes on one of those things. So I had just been at home serving my family and feeling a little bit just a longing, a creative longing, to jump into something and to invest creatively. And so when my manager brought me this opportunity, hey, we want you to co-write, be a lyricist for this enormous project, huge in size and scope and importance, and you can still be at home every night and put your kids to bed, you know, it was just like a no-brainer. I was so thrilled for the opportunity.
Wow, that's wonderful. Well, if you just tuned in today, really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to singer-songwriter, worship leader Nicole Nordeman. She's got a new book out that kind of goes hand-in-hand with the CD, this story. It's called Love Story, The Hand That Holds Us from the Garden to the Gates. And it really does take you on a journey from Genesis to Revelation, but she integrates her stories, her personal stories as well. It's great, great reading. I've got 3 copies of the book, 3 copies of the CD. Maybe you've got a question for Nicole today. We'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, you can email during the show, Susie@faithradionet.com. So we've got a few songs lined up from the album. We wanted to play a portion of the song Good that speaks of creation. Maybe give us a set us up a little bit for that song.
Yeah, this song really is the story of Adam and Eve, and came out of this idea that they had to live their whole lives with this shame and regret that no one else really had experienced before. They had walked, and they alone had walked in relationship, in physical relationship with God, and then experienced the separation from that. And that loss must have been so painful. So the song is, the whole record is written in first person. So this is the first person voice of Adam and Eve. Mm. Talking about that longing and also the healing that comes with the very real realization that God still looked at what he created, even in their sin, and said, it is good.
Mm, and I'm going to have you even unpack that more, because I pulled out an excerpt from the book that's just poetic and beautiful. But let's just hear a portion of the song, Good.
Choose differently. If I could, I would. I'd leave out the part where I broke your heart, in the garden shade, fix the mess I made. If I could, I would.
So here's an excerpt from the book. In all these moments, the Creator held us like newborns and saw glimpses of himself. And though it is our capacity for utter darkness and destruction that leaves me wondering why he bothered, it is our capacity to reflect the perfection of his light and love that reveal why he did. Of course he bothered. It was good then because he is good. It will always be good because love knows no other way to be. Say a word about that, just about his love. And probably you really understood it on a whole much deeper level as you unpacked these passages, wouldn't you? I'm sure you did.
I did. Mm. I did. As I wrote all of these stories, these beloved, iconic men and women of Scripture that we have studied and studied for years as children and adults, that was the thread for me. The thread was how loved we are, and how Adam and Eve were loved with the very same love that you are loved with and that I am loved with, and that is that great connective tissue, as simple as it seems, from the garden to the gates, was so powerful to me, that these are not disjointed stories where God is one thing to these people and another thing in this point in time and still another. And he loves because he doesn't know how not to love. He is love.
I love that.
You know, it was really powerful for me.
Yeah, they're not their mistakes, and we're not our mistakes. You know, we're image bearers of His name.
That's
an amazing thing. If we could ponder that every day, it would change how we live.
Agreed.
877-933-2484. Maybe you've got a question for Nicole today. 877-933-2484. We've got some copies of her book, Love Story, and some copies of the CD. Lisa is calling from Madison. She's got a question. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Susie. Hi, Nicole.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. I am so excited and honored to be on the phone here with both of you. Nicole, I have the book. I read it, and I have the CD, and I have been immersing myself in this music for the past, well, ever since it came out. And it's such a blessing, and I really appreciate how you bring the humanity of each character, and I know you've spoken a little bit about that, of each biblical person, really does an amazing job of helping us all to relate to them. And I'm a creative writer, and I've had some interest and really feel called to kind of write creatively about these people as well. And I'm wondering, have you gotten any criticism or backlash from people who feel a little bit more on the strict point of view of putting this spin on these people?
I haven't yet. You know, the book's only been out for a few months, and so I'm certainly, I know that those folks are out there, and I know that they're good people with all of us. We just have different perspectives and different takes on things that are not necessarily black and white. And I think a lot of scripture, a lot of the narrative of scripture, can be interpreted through the lens of our own cultural context. And so, for me to read a story like Adam and Eve or like Ruth and Naomi or Job, I will take different things away than somebody else. And I think the key to all of that is just that we can all disagree in love and have different perspectives in love and realize that though our perspectives and interpretations can vary, the God that we love and serve does not vary and does not change.
Mm-hmm.
He's the constant. So I'm totally open and willing and ready to embrace you know, anybody who is up for a good discussion.
Good for you. 877-933-2484. You know, where would we be without our differing perspectives?
That's
like, you know, lifting something up and turning it at different angles and going, you know, this is what I see. And you might be speaking that healing word to somebody that they need, that, you know, where they're missing it. Okay, we've got Melissa. She emailed. She said, I heard Nicole talk about trusting God with a gift of songwriting and the idea that this was going to be her way of earning a living. How long did it take her to reconcile her desire to be financially stable with God's calling on her life? Boy, great question, because there is that free fall moment where you jump without the guarantee. So what do you say?
Absolutely. Well, I was in church ministry for many, many years and, you know, was playing the piano at my church and leading worship at my church and also holding down two or three nanny jobs and waiting table jobs and just trying to steward my gifts faithfully without freaking out too much about the bottom line. And somehow God always managed to provide for me. So there wasn't this sort of windfall moment where I said yes and stepped out on the branch and you know, was showered with financial blessings. It was never like that. I just kept saying small yeses to the next small step until I found myself where I needed to be and where He had asked me to be.
Don't you think it's almost always that way? I'm sorry.
No.
Don't you think it's almost always that way, that there's small yeses, a small willingness? But once you look back, you see yourself on a big piece of land that you've taken one step at a time?
Absolutely, I do. And I also want to be careful to not to suggest that financial blessing is attached to being at the center of your calling. And, you know, there are some vocations that, you know, are more financially lucrative than others, but to me, it's like, what is God asking you to do, and what does that look like in your heart when you have agreed to do it, and where else is He pouring out blessings in your lives? It's not always financial.
Yeah, good word. Well, in the chapter on Adam and Eve, you share a very personal story about wrestling through depression. I walked through a year of depression about 18 years ago, and I resonated so much with just even how you saying, you know, and when you're on the outside looking in, it's easy to say to someone, you know, buck up, buttercup, but when you're walking through it, it's hard to tie your shoes. I so appreciated that perspective. Explain what you mean when you say falling doesn't have to mean hiding. That's a good word. Say more about that.
Well, I wrote that in the context of Adam and Eve in the garden and how
for me, I felt like so much of their original sinful choice was not because they were just really hoping for a chance to disobey God. I think they longed to be someone that they were not created and intended to be, and so they longed to see more and know more than the Creator wanted them to see or know, and that's where they started entertaining the lies of Satan. So that resonated, because that is how I spend my whole life, I feel like, is just wanting to be more and wanting to know more. And they're, you know, living in a culture that is so immersed in self-improvement and embedding yourself and taking it to the next level. And, you know, all the psychology of self-help is pervasive. It's really hard not to be swept up in that and make it an idol,
right,
bettering yourself. Mm. So that's really where the depression came for me, is I just thought, I've got to be able to look in the mirror. And as you said, Susie, realize that I'm an image bearer and see his image staring back at me and not the next best polished, shined up, improved self.
Mm-hmm. Now,
never happened.
Oh, man, that's so good. Something I've been pondering and we've talked about numerous times on this show is how easily we can confuse success for faithfulness. And I think sometimes when you're faithful, it turns out a certain measure of success, but not always. And what heaven deems as worthy of applause is oftentimes different than what the world does.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely true.
Well, I love that you had a charm made with a little fig leaf. And I think that, and you said we're all one bite away from falling down. And I started to think about that, you know, the less desperate we feel for God's grace, the more dangerous our footing is. So I want to know, from your perspective, why we don't more readily embrace that desperate dependence that's really supposed to be our reality as Christ followers.
I think it's just shame. It's the lie of shame. Mm-hmm. That when you feel like you have made a decision or a step that is outside of where you should be choosing or stepping, the nature of the flesh is to hide. It's why I wear the little fig leaf charm. Is because we want to just hole up and get better. And then once we're better, once we have a story, a happy ending for our testimony, then we can open the doors and say, wow, guys, look what God's done in my life.
Yeah.
It's such a different thing and so much more difficult in the middle of that moment to open the door and step out from behind the bushes, away from the fig leaf, and say, here's where I am, like right now, here's where I am.
Yeah.
And I need help and I need love and I need grace and forgiveness. That's a tall order for a lot of people, including me.
Indeed. And yet, when you think about it, we're never more safe than we are just after we've blown it.
That's so true.
You know, because you really know your need, you know his grace, and
yeah.
You get far enough away from that, you start to think, well, you know, life's good because I'm pretty sure I'm good.
Yes,
scary.
And we're so surprised by the community that encircles us almost instantly.
Mm.
The people
oh,
start,
yeah.
You know, the second we come out of the shadows, other people start coming out too, and you realize how completely not alone you really are.
So true. Well, what do you say to that person who says, you know, I've not really ever encountered God's love? I know it says it in the Word, and I'm supposed to say, okay, he died for my sins, so that means I'm loved, but I've never really felt loved by God. What can you say to that person?
You know, I would, that's a hard one. I would challenge that person to maybe take a second, harder look at your ideas of who God is. I think for a lot of us, and you know, this again, I have nothing but gratitude for my early years in Christian education and growing up in the church and the foundation that was laid in my life. I am so thankful for. But in those moments, you know, we as children, we begin to form an idea of God, and then when we're all grown up, that idea of God, there are still many, many lingering ideas about that image that maybe are not right and are not serving us. And I would say, if you have not ever truly felt loved by the one who loves you most, the problem is in the perception of who God is. Mm-hmm. I would guess, you know, without knowing this person, I would say, let's talk about who God really is and maybe who he isn't. Who did you learn that he was? Because he's nothing but love.
Yeah, and don't you think so often people maybe who have a father wound or a traumatic past,
yes,
can't get past that? That's sort of their filter.
Yes, or maybe grew up in a faith where fear was preached and judgment was preached and checklists were checked off and do's and don'ts were
highly emphasized as opposed to relationship. And there's just a host of ways that we can get sideways, but it's never too late to reconstruct that idea of the Lord.
Yeah, we had Max Lucado on a couple weeks ago to talk about his new book, Grace, and it's just such a powerful thing to return to again and again. And like he'd said, you know, if you rely on your works, you get pride. If you fall down from your works, you get despair. And neither of these things are things that point us to the Father.
That's right. So good.
Well, in a moment, we're going to be taking a short break. On the other side, we're going to hear your song about Joseph. It's called Bend. We're going to hope I want to have time for this to talk about Ruth's story and I'm With You. And then Mary, the mother of Jesus, Be Born in Me. And then the second coming, we'll wrap up talking about the great day, just kind of giving you a heads up of where we're going to go in the conversation.
Great.
Yeah, I'm so excited. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Nicole Nordeman. She's got a brand new book out, beautiful hardcover book titled Love Story, The Hand That Holds Us from the Garden to the Gates. Would you believe we've got three copies to give away and three copies of the Story CD? And I'm telling you, it's one song after another, three copies of the CD. We'll play a few of these songs throughout the show. But I would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question for our guest today. You can call toll-free from anywhere, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me during the show, Susie@FaithRadioNet.com. Susie@FaithRadioNet.com. More with Nicole Nordeman in just a moment. Gives me goosebumps. That's Brandon Heath. That's the song Bend, and that's Speaking to Joseph's Life. I'm talking to Nicole Nordeman today. She's got a new book out called Love Story, and it really is kind of a springboards off of the CD that she co-wrote, I think, every song on the album, The Story. And you've probably heard about the big production with Max Lucado and Randy Frazee. We've got three CDs to give away and three copies of Nicole's book. If we want to hear from you, you've got a question, 877-933-2484. Nicole, just listening to the lyrics, I really, first of all, just applaud you for your unbelievable gift, and I thank God for it. It's just amazing how you wrote. And, you know, like Brandon Heath is perfect to sing this song. And I can't imagine that it's easy to write these songs that appeals to these different artist styles, and did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let's talk about Joseph for a moment, because I love, he's, you know, I'm not my family tree, and he's trying to be something altogether different. And you know there are people listening that are like, you know, this is the soil I was raised in. Say a word about how Joseph's story most impacted you.
Well, you know, I had a pretty idyllic childhood, and I it was a long time before I really understood how painful it is for some people in life to bear the same last name as another, because family members had inflicted so much pain and such wounds, deep wounds, in the lives of some of my friends. And the idea that is not who you are, it is where you, it's where you came from, it is a place where God allowed you to walk through, but it is not your defining label in life, is the pain your family inflicted on you. That was really a powerful idea, and especially as it related to the life of Joseph, and really taking a look. You know, we
spend a lot of time talking about the incredible things he did with his life and the obedience and the opportunity that God opened up for him. But he really came from a lot of pain, a lot of pain, and somehow managed to not just rise above it, but to incorporate that pain into a deep, deep faith that I don't think he could have had otherwise without that wound that his brothers inflicted on him more than once. So it's not just about forgiveness. It's not just about looking the other way. It's not just because he was, you know, had this rock solid character and he was just somehow able to rise above. He made a choice not to wear his wound for the rest of his life, but to be better for it. So that was powerful for me.
So powerful. I see some calls coming in, 877-933-2484. We've got Kelly calling from Farmington. She's got a question. Kelly, you're on the air with Nicole. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm really enjoying the conversation. Nicole, when you talked earlier about being raised in a Christian home, you know, having a faith earlier in your childhood and then kind of falling away.
Yeah.
And then redefining it for yourself, that resonated with me. I have six children, five are adults. All kind of did the same thing where they seemed really on fire and loved Jesus and, you know, had their childlike faith. Mm-hmm. And then all have kind of fallen away, and a couple of since, like your story, have come back and have made their faith their own and defined what it looked like for them. So my question is, as you were kind of going through that wandering period, was there something that your parents could have done differently to encourage you or been a better support or kind of errors that they made so that I could, you know, learn from that and be doing a better job? I want so desperately for them to love Jesus and to come back, and sometimes I feel maybe I push them away with that.
You know, what a fantastic question, and you're going to hate my answer. I really don't think there's anything they could have done. I really don't. And the fact that they, I will say this, one of the things that gave me such a point to return to, which is, you know, what that proverb that we cling to about training up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I did depart from it, but I had a place to return to because it had not changed. The modeling had not changed. The consistency had not changed. The love for Jesus had not changed. The confidence in Christ had not changed. From my parents' faith had not changed. And so it was easy for me to look back and go, okay, well, there's something there for me to return to. There's something real about Scripture. There's something right about everything they're saying. There's truth in it. I don't think they could have prevented my questions. I think I would have just resented it and rebelled if they had tried. I think the best gift they gave me was just always open arms and always a couch to sit on and talk openly without being judged. And just the consistent love that I know you're loving your babies with. That's the best you can do. And obviously prayer.
That's great advice, and I think it's a constant reminder for those of us with 20-somethings and older living it out. And I think, too, it really is a practice and faith for us to continually to offer our kids up and walk faithfully with the Lord. Great advice. We've got Leslie calling from Detroit Lakes. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Leslie.
Hi. What an honor.
Thank you.
What do you have for... Go ahead.
Well, I had just made a comment, just random, of course. That's the way God loves to surprise us. Mm-hmm. And turn on the radio and hear this. And, Nicole, your stepmom, Becky, was a friend of mine in Crestview, Colorado.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And I live in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota now. And she was instrumental in my young Christian life. And then I know she did some choices. And along the way, grace was all over her life and is over mine. But I was saying how beautiful that God stitches. So I know just a teeny droplet, but I heard your early music, fell in love with the storytelling, and then didn't hear about you for a bit. But that could be for many reasons. And now to hear this, and then whatever song was just the first thing about beautiful or the beginning and that scene, I was just like, just goosebumping. You know how the Spirit just, well, I'm driving down the road illegally. I have to just encourage that. Amazing, as a 52-year-old, how you're hitting me, and I know you're going to hit a million people along the way.
Mm.
But that's just the instrument and the faithfulness of you just stepping back, going, "Hi, I have an owie here," and I didn't get to hear all but the end of that conversation of the other caller. But I am just, again, just very honored and thrilled to be on this lady, Susie, who obviously is a master at what she does, because she pulls a lot out of you, Nicole, for us to hear. And I'm blessed beyond. So I love how God surprises the socks out of us.
Oh, you're so sweet to call him with such encouragement. Tell me your name again so I can tell Becky that we chatted.
Leslie from Detroit Lakes.
Leslie, thank
yes.
you.
Thank you, Leslie. God bless you. What a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so now I want to talk about Ruth because I want to make sure I get her song in there. Is there anything about Ruth's story that really impacted you?
You know, what really impacted me was something that Randy Frazee actually pointed out to me in the story, and that is that there is, we make, and I won't say it nearly as eloquently as he does, but we make so much in the story about Ruth's faithfulness and about her loyalty to Naomi and about her decision to choose selflessly in such tragic circumstances. And what we forget to remember is that Naomi, in her grief and in her pain, must have really modeled incredible confidence in her God for Ruth to want to stay with her.
Yeah.
Instead of going back home to safety and familiarity and to actually a pagan religion from her people, which she was free to return to, she said, I want to go where you go. I want your God to be my God. And to model that in the depth of sorrow is so powerful.
You know, I remember Paul saying something about that in Scripture, about that his chains would serve to strengthen your faith. And I remember writing in my Bible margin, do my trials do that? Do my trials strengthen other people's faith? And there had to have been that element there for her to go, well, your world is turning upside down. You know something that I don't know. And so
I'm not going anywhere.
Amen. I'm with you. So we're going to hear a portion of Ruth's song, and we'll talk more about Ruth.
Love is a hunger, a famine in your soul.
With goosebumps again, Nicole. So powerful. Wow, it's just so powerful. You know, one of the things I love about Ruth's story too is when Boaz says, stay in my field, you'll be safe there. And as she works there, how he tells the guys, you know, pull up extra and leave it in the path. And I just think that's a picture of the Lord. You know, stay in the boundaries I've set for you. But as you do that, you're going to reap something that's so disproportionate to what you've sown. And isn't that just a beautiful picture of the Father's love and protection for us?
So beautiful. Mm. Absolutely is.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus. What about her story stood out to you?
Well, I had a lot of fun, not irreverently, but a lot of fun with this chapter, because, you know, Mary is obviously just worthy of so much of our admiration.
Yes.
But I was really drawn to the teenage side of her story, and I remembered back to my own adolescence and how selfish I was and how concerned I was with what other people thought and sort of my social standing, like a lot of teenagers are very concerned with. And it just hit me in a new way that her sacrifice was not just the obvious sacrifice, which was bringing us the Messiah, but that she really sort of lost her youth.
Yeah.
That her yes to God was a giant no to a lot of other normal, wonderful things that teenage girls and young women experienced in life. And I thought that was really beautiful and just such a reminder that God calls us to big things and asks us to walk away from small ones.
Don't you think too, Nicole, that there's certain courage for her to be content to be misunderstood? I mean, when she's like saying, be unto me according to your word. I mean, to say, I know what this means. You know, I mean, to some extent, people are going to judge me. I am saying no to all these other things.
And for your soul to magnify the Lord at the moment, in that, as a 15, 16-year-old girl, that's astonishing, really.
Yeah. And there is a parallel on a different scale, because what she did for us is amazing. But truly, when we embrace the Christ in us and the call of God on our lives, there has to be a certain place where we get delivered from, or at least continue to put under our feet, the fear of man and walk in the fear of the Lord, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, let's hear Be Born in Me. This is another one that brings me to my knees, absolutely. And we'll talk a little bit more about the life of Mary. I'm talking to Nicole Nordeman today. We probably have time for a couple more calls and probably have a couple books and CDs left to give away. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@faithradionet.com. Here's another song written by Nicole. It's about the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's titled, Be Born in Me.
All this time we've waited for the promise. All this time you've waited for my arms. Did you wrap yourself inside the unexpected, so we might know that love would go that far?
So absolutely beautiful. What's it like for you, Nicole, to be on the receiving end of that song that you've written?
You know, it's been a while since I've heard this music. It's funny, you work on something and you work on it for, it's probably like writing a book, you know, you just are immersed in it, and then when you turn it in, you don't listen to it or read it again for a long time, and so it's just such a blessing to get to hear sort of in retrospect what God was telling my heart in these songs, and just the privilege of getting to share them.
Isn't it a beautiful privilege, you know, to offer up a gift to him that can nourish others, and that really is the call for all of us.
It is a privilege.
You know, as I'm thinking, you know, I sort of can't wait for October to get over. I hate to say it, but, you know, Halloween's just my least favorite holiday. But as soon as you cross over and you get to that November 1st, you're anticipating, you know, Thanksgiving and the holidays. With that in mind, thinking of that song, Be Born in Me, say a word to the soul listening today as they prepare their heart even to honor Christmas, honor Christ and Christmas, how to walk that out in maybe a more sacred way, not to get caught up in the hustle bustle, but to really say, Lord, you know, increase my capacity for you. Be born in me in a fresh new way. Could you give a word of encouragement to someone listening, not to get in the rat race, but to approach the holidays different this year?
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard for so many of us. And I always, probably like a lot of people listening, I always start the holiday season with such strong intentions not to get sucked into the machine, the consumerism machine. And it just seems like inevitably I'm, you know, on December 22nd paying frantically for overnight shipping for a bunch of junk my kids aren't ever going to use. But, you know, for me, what's really changed in the last couple of years is I have tried to put my energy towards service during that time, community service, working at shelters or even just calling your church and saying, hey, is there a family that needs help this, you know, this Christmas? Is there anyone who's struggling with something that's challenging, needs you know, needs a hospital visit, just anything that's just getting out of myself, getting out of the temptation to take one more trip to the mall and just give. And that's really, that is Jesus, is just to live out service and to find needs and then meet them. And that is, that's one way that I try to combat, although not entirely successfully all the time, but try to combat just the me focus at Christmas time.
It's great. You know, give to others and receive from him. Those are my two as well. Just receiving from him, making time to rest in his presence and to give more to others. So, which means consume less for myself. That is how I go through it without feeling toxic. And I think it's a good aim anyway, right?
Absolutely.
All right. We've got Shannon from Albertville, and she wants to thank you. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Nicole, Shannon. I just wanted to thank you for your beautiful music, because a song I had heard from you that got me to buy your CD, and then I started listening to KTIF because of your
music.
And your CD, I actually, I just randomly picked it out at the store, too. I didn't know which song was what. I didn't know any Christian music at the time.
Wow.
But the song that you sing about the season, you are summer, you are winter.
Yeah, every season.
We used that for my dad's memorial video when he died.
Had
pictures of him, and he died in the winter, so the lyrics of that song for that part was just so amazing. And I had just started listening to your CD or Christian music for only about a month before my dad died. So everything was brand new. And then quickly after that, he was buried in Fort Snelling, and my job site was located looking at Fort Snelling, which was really sad every day.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go. I was afraid to go. And I never knew on the CD that I had that there was a song called Come.
Yes.
And all of a sudden I put that in my car because I was going to be brave and go to Fort Snelling to find his tombstone. And the lyrics of that song was goosebumps and crying and praying. And your music was so... God uses it.
I'm so humbled. Thank you for sharing that. I always liken the experience to taking a pebble and dropping it in the center of a lake, and you just never know which shores the ripples will reach, and because you're just the stone and you just sunk to the bottom of the lake. But I'm just to hear that and the way God so specifically used those two songs, it just gives me chills, because that's nothing I had anything to do with. That was just the Lord. And I'm just so humbled. Thank you for sharing that.
You know, I think that's going to be one of the most glorious things about heaven is the stories, the lineup of stories for, the cup of water we offer in his name is going to ripple into eternity. And it's a reminder, Nicole, to live with eternity in mind, as this time has gone by so fast. In just a second, I want to pray a portion of the great day about the second coming. But is there a word you want to say about, just as you explored the return of Jesus, what thoughts went through your mind?
You know, the best thing that happened for me was when I was writing about the great day and writing about the return of Jesus is that I was just able to really feel comfortable saying, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. The book of Revelation scares me. It intimidates me. The interpretations and the arguments about it intimidate me. And so I've sort of distanced myself from second coming conversation for a long time. And there's such freedom in just saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how much is literal, how much is metaphor. I know you're coming, and I want to live so that if you show up in the next 10 minutes, I'm ready, and my life is looking like it's ready to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that. That's
so
enough
for
right now.
Yeah, my mother-in-law used to want to make sure that she had her prayer time with an eastern-facing window, so she could be looking out the window just in case that was the day. I love that. So precious. So let's hear a little portion. Our time's almost out here. The great day. It's about the second coming.
We met pain in a garden where we lived a lie. We met hope in a manger at the baby's cry. Rescued by hands bleeding grace. Are we ready to see his face on the great day? rushing wind. Blow like fields of wheat, the world will bow and bend. Hell between a joy and disbelief. Every trembling heart will finally face the same way on the great day.
My goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm just overwhelmed. Wow. Well, you know, the Bible does talk about that. Many will not be ready for Christ's return, but blessed are you if you live ready. You live ready. And none of us know when that day is. And for some, it may be sooner than others because you don't know when your last day is. But, Nicole, this has been just such a profound time. And as we're getting ready to wrap up, I'm wondering if you would honor us with just praying for that person listening right now who needs a fresh reminder of both the greatness of God, but the nearness of Him.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I'd be honored. Heavenly Father, thank you for this sacred time. And I just would pray for anyone, and I would include myself in this, Lord, who just needs to know you in a new way and needs to be reminded that you are a great God and a small God, that you are as big as our biggest problem and as small as our smallest problem, and that the same way that you loved Abraham and Moses and Esther and David and Paul through all of those valleys and peaks, that you are loving us and teaching us with the same loving hand. And we're so grateful. Lord, forgive us for making you irrelevant. Forgive us for thinking that Scripture is that it's old-fashioned and it has nothing to say to our modern lives. You have everything to say to our modern lives. We love you. We want to know you deeper. And thank you for the opportunity. In your name we pray. Amen.
Jesus' name. Nicole, it has been a sacred time. Thank you so much for your time.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
Title of the book is Love Story. It's a beautiful book. I'm going to leave you with a passage from Isaiah 25. Listen to this. God, you are my God. I celebrate you. I praise you. You've done your share of miracle wonders, well thought out plans, solid and sure. Here you've reduced the city to rubble, the strong city to a pile of stones. The enemy big city is a non-city, never to be a city again. Superpowers will see it and they will honor you. Brutal oppressors bow in worshipful reverence. They'll see that you take care of the poor, that you take care of the poor people in trouble. You provide a warm, dry place in bad weather. You provide a cool place when it's hot. Brutal oppressors are like a winter blizzard and vicious foreigners like high noon in the desert. But you shelter from the storm and shade from the sun. You shut the mouths of big mouth bullies. But here on this mountain, God of the angel armies will throw a feast for all the people of the world. And God will wipe away the tears from every face. He'll remove every sign of disgrace from his people wherever they are. Yes, God says so. Also at that time, people will say, look at what's happened. This is our God. We waited for him and he showed up and he saved us. This God, the one we waited for, let's celebrate and sing the joys of his salvation. God's hand rests on this mountain. Well, I pray with all my heart that today's show blessed, challenged, and encouraged you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Give us a few minutes. The podcast will be up, and this is one you want to give as a gift. I'm telling you what, it's free. It just takes a minute. With a click of a button, you can send out today's show by Facebook, email, or Twitter. And, you know, just send a word to a friend saying, if you want a spiritual spa moment, this is one. Send it. Again, it's at faithradionet.com. I want to remind you, tomorrow I'll be talking to Christy Paul. She's a news anchor, talking about her book, Love Isn't Supposed to Hurt, and really about her journey to healing and wholeness after coming out of an emotionally abusive relationship. Really powerful, encouraging show. That's tomorrow. Finally, I want to leave you this thought. Guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.